Coming up on Podcast 1206, Honda look to GM to build EVs in the future. Stick around. We'll talk about that and a lot more today as well. Also on the show today, Ford looking for top talent from the likes of Apple. British Volt want to build a UK battery factory. And Motor Trend get their first drive of the Rivian R1T. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 9th of September. My name is Martin Lee. My job is to go through every EV story. And I save you time. It's like a TLDR of the internet EV world. Because I know you're busy, so I do all that for you. And it's been a busy old week with the IAA Mobility Show in Munich. We'll be talking about that plenty on the Inside EVs podcast, which I also am one of the four presenters of. That's tomorrow, Friday afternoons at 9:30 Eastern, 2:30 UK, 3:30 European. If you want to watch something on the internet over the weekend, if you can't catch us live, always recommend that. We'll be talking about plenty of the stuff from the IAA because Tom and Kyle are both there. Even though they've flown from America to come to Europe, and I'm in Europe, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Honda and GM sharing EV parts. The Japanese automaker Honda is strengthening ties with General Motors to share some components for electric vehicles. They want to shorten the time needed to develop new models, and boy, oh boy, do they need to, because let's look at it. What have they got? Honda E. Yep. There's the Honda E. There's the Honda E. Right, so developing a new EV is an inconveniently long time to do, and so they're looking to GM to give them a leg up and keep up with the wave of electrification. If only they could have spotted this many years ago like you and I did, and they wouldn't be in this situation. Honda developing platforms for the small and medium-sized cars, which GM will get access to. GM will make them for larger models, but Honda, I would say, definitely the more junior partner in that deal, given how far advanced General Motors are with their EV plans. I'll pop a link to NHK, the Japanese publication, in the show notes if you want to read more. Tesla have completed the construction of its supercharging production plant at Shanghai. I should say supercharger production plant in Shanghai in late August. Now, what are they doing at the minute? They're going through some debugging of the equipment that'll run from August 21 to September 25th for the next couple of weeks, according to a local media outlet. Now, the website Gasgoo writes that the building works officially commenced on January 20th this year. According to an environment impact assessment report, the plant consists of five semi-automatic assembly lines capable of producing 10,000 superchargers a year. I should add, yes, of course, these are V3s. They're not making the supercharger V2s anymore. So if you want a charging network, you can either go out and buy some chargers in, which is what pretty much everybody does, or you can make your own ones, which is what Tesla have always been doing. Now, a specific plant in China to make superchargers, which will then be exported around the world. But 10,000 a year is such a rate of improvement, and one of the moats around Tesla. Yes, I know that Elon Musk many years ago on an earnings call said he doesn't believe in moats, or that moats were dumb or something like that. Yeah, difference between what he says and what he thinks. Tesla have many moats. One of them, I think the biggest one, is their supercharging network, particularly here. Now, I know in the US where the Electrify America and some of the big charging networks are installing charging locations with 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 chargers. Really, certainly in the UK and many places in Europe, apart from Ionity and some of the new locations, really, if you get one or two chargers, you're lucky. And often they're at a place where you want to stop your car. And often they're next to a Tesla supercharging station where there will be 8, 10, 12, 14 or more chargers, and many of them free. It's a wonderful advert. Superchargers, firstly, are a great advert for Tesla. Also, for any owners, they're brilliant. For any Tesla owners, the idea of opening them up to every Tom, Dick and Harry is an awful idea. Although lots of Tesla owners support it because it will encourage the uptake of electric vehicles. But see what they say next time they turn up to a supercharger and there's a queue of third-party cars in front of them, whether they still feel the same. And also, they just work, right? So if you make the car, the software, and the chargers, they just work. There's nothing to worry about. They're always turned on, they always work, and there's always some available, at least here. I know that around major holidays in the US, particularly West Coast, they can get super busy, but really, I've never seen a queue, certainly here at a Tesla supercharger. So brilliant news, they're continuing to invest in that. Yes, opening up the supercharging network, I get maybe two or three questions a week at the minute about that from people saying, oh, when's it starting? I've heard about it. What do you know? Any inside gossip or info? Yeah, no, I haven't texted Elon recently. But from my perspective, and this is just a personal opinion, so I'm probably very wrong, Tesla will open up any new supercharging station where they co-locate with somebody else. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're a landowner, particularly a local council, authority, anywhere that represents people or, and Tesla come along and say, we would like to use your land for a supercharger, please, but only people who buy expensive Teslas can use it. Well, they're increasingly, this isn't like 5 years ago, increasingly people are EV aware now. So rather than going like, oh, brilliant, electric car chargers, yes, have some land. Oh, how very forward thinking we are. They're going, well, hang on. Now, all of our residents, all of our citizens, all of our, whoever, like our voters, particularly if it's kind of government land or whatever, you can't put a charging station on that not everybody can use. So I think Tesla, where they have to, will open up the supercharging stations, not even all of them, like some of them, maybe less than half possibly, and they'll signpost them so that they get permission to build more stations. I think where they're building new stations on their own purchased land away from everything else, I don't think they're going to open those up. They don't need to. Why would they? Because Tesla fans tell me Elon Musk is all about advancing everybody's move to sustainable transport, but is a worthy goal, I would admit, but I don't necessarily agree. I think he's a very good businessman as well. Let's also talk about bosses from Rivian visiting the UK. The Amazon-backed and Ford-backed US carmaker Rivian. Bosses management are flying into the UK next week to discover more about a potential site for Rivian's UK factory. They are going to the west of England, and the west of England mayor's office seem to have leaked this news. Rivian is eyeing an area between Bristol and Bridgewater, that is Somerset. So if you're not familiar with the UK, bottom lefty bit. Rivian executives are going to be involved in a series of meetings with the government and business officials, as well as Somerset's local officials. They're looking at the Gravity campus, so 616 acres of smart campus just off the M5. Great location, good motorway location, by the way. And if you go down the M5 a bit, you get a new Ionity station as well. Anyway, according to businesslive.co.uk, Rivian bosses will visit Bristol to find out about the city's innovation expertise, concluding with a dinner on the SS Great Britain. They'll then fly to Germany to visit a rival site before making a final decision. This is all about governments doing a beauty parade, and all they are is, it's not their fault, but they are subsidy truffle hunting with their little piggy noses in the ground. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Who can give us the most incentives and subsidies? Look, it's no surprise that Germany are about to give Tesla over €1 billion in incentives for building the battery plant there. Why do you think Elon picked the site just out of Berlin? Because what, he wants to learn German or something? Absolutely not. So, Rivian will come here, and I hope the UK government can offer a better deal than Germany, but it really is about, all right, what subsidies have you got, and what little truffles can we sniff out, please, of your country? Everyone does it. It's not a criticism of Rivian or Tesla. It's just the way it goes. So we'll wait and see where Rivian end up with their European factory. Coming up on the podcast very soon, we'll talk about Volkswagen leasing their used batteries and the Porsche Taycan selling a little bit too well. Stick around, that's on the way. Now, let's talk about Ford poaching top talent from Apple. His name is Doug Field, and long-time people interested in electric vehicles will go, oh, Doug Field, I know that name. Yes, ex-Tesla Doug Field. Ford has hired former Tesla and Apple executive Doug Field to lead their technology efforts, a key focus for the automaker under Ford Plus. That's their turnaround plan. Now, hiring Doug is a major new addition for Ford, and you would say probably a big hit to Apple and their secret car project that is the world's worst kept secret. The company's yet to confirm that it even exists, but why would somebody like Doug Field go from Tesla to Apple? Well, to work on their car projects. Apple did issue an emailed statement. According to CNBC, Apple said, and I quote, "We're grateful for the contributions that Doug has made to Apple, and we wish him all the best in the next chapter." End quote. Yeah, there's nothing there, is there? The hire is a major addition for Ford and a big hit to Apple. Field led the development of Tesla's Model 3. Most recently, VP of Special Projects at Apple. In other words, the Apple car. That's the Project Titan that we talk about sometimes, and it makes you wonder, if you're at Apple and who have, more money than God, they can do whatever they want to, why would someone like him leave a tech giant who can do anything and will do an amazing car when they eventually reach reach that point, go to a company like Ford, of, you know, one of the most established automakers with processes and, you know, probably more staff than they need. I hate to say, they're unionized, but EVs take fewer people to build. Well, maybe because Apple aren't shipping, and maybe a guy like Doug Field wants to ship. Like, if you've built the Model 3 and you're in charge of Model 3 and you came from Tesla, then you are used to shipping, right? You have a product, might be, not be perfect, but you ship it and you fix it afterwards with over-the-air updates. Apple, you know, could be another 5 years away from the Apple car. And, you know, some people would be happy to take the paycheck. Maybe Doug wants to ship. And maybe he just wants to work for a company that has a product or a product line, and people are actually going to start using his products. I don't know. That's like, that's the worst problem with Apple's Apple car, which isn't an Apple car, because they won't confirm it. It might never happen. And so I'm not surprised. Volkswagen are next in the news. At the Munich Auto Show this week, Herbert Diess, he's the group CEO, has told the press that they will offer leases on used EVs. And why would they do that? Well, it's a way to maintain control over the batteries that power them. That way, Volkswagen own the vehicle if it's a used EV. So if somebody comes and buys a new EV for, you know, the first 3 years on payments or something, and then it goes back to Ford, rather than it just going through the auction process, VW will keep it and lease it. They'll lease used vehicles. Why? Well, then they own the battery. They own the energy. Automotive News Europe reports that Diess told the audience that Volkswagen will begin to offer used vehicle leases of the ID cars, including those in North America. Their strategy is to then keep control over the battery. Now, Diess says the secondary leases will allow VW to recycle the battery packs into new uses at the end of life, like home power centres, like fast chargers, like battery storage at fast chargers. He says this, and I quote, "In Europe, we're trying to get a second lease and even a third life lease and keep the car in our hands," end quote. He also mentioned that battery life is about 1,000 charging cycles, or 350,000 kilometres, about 215,000 miles. So the battery will live longer than the car. VW, at the end of the car's life, want the battery. Watch where they're going with this. Always have a look at these kind of moves that companies make and try and predict the future. I know it's hard, but this is a really big, big move. Made very little press today, by the way. Very little noise. Nobody noticed it. This is huge, because in 10 years' time, VW will have access to so much storage, whether they want to have their own home storage, grid storage, and batteries. We talk about it all the time. You know, you and I both come across people that when we talk about electric cars, they go, "Oh yes, but the batteries only last a year, then you've got to stick them in landfill and get a new one. I know, because my mobile phone didn't hold its charge after a couple of years." We've all come across those people, right? And so VW know the truth, like you and I know, right? Batteries last so much longer than people realise. And VW want those packs. They're not worried about having that as an asset. Now, I lease my battery from Renault at the moment on my Zoe that we own, the ZE40. But Renault are calling me and writing to me saying, "Hey, buy the battery. Here's the price." Now, they've offered me a price of £5,000 to buy them out on the battery. And I wouldn't do it in a million years. Firstly, it doesn't add £5,000 to my car. So that would be mad, because then I could sell the car today or tomorrow. And if I've spent £5,000 on the battery, that's not the delta between those two. But also, Renault are desperate to get out of it. So I'm just going to carry on leaving it for as long as we have the Zoe. We might sell it this year. But we've treated the battery very well. So, you know, we haven't fast charged it too much. We normally charge at home pretty slowly, once a week maybe. We don't do many miles. And, you know, Renault don't want to be sitting on batteries anymore. They want to exit that battery business. That's not official. That's my opinion. And which is why they keep calling me and saying, "Want to buy the battery? Here's the new price." So I will keep waiting for that call to go down to, you know, £500, £1,000 or whatever. And at some point, Renault are going to say, "Look, have the battery. It's too much hassle operating a lease bit of our business." VW are going in the other way. Isn't that really interesting? Next, British Volt are a battery cell factory maker, and the factory is now under construction in Northumberland. Planning permission for the cell factory was granted by the county council in July, and ground has been broken, according to nextgreencar.com. It'll be built on a 95-hectare site near the power station. Once up and running, they will start production in 2023. And cells will be made in the UK, with 3,000 jobs being created, 5,000 in the supply chain, and there's going to be three phases. It'll start by making 10 gigawatt hours of cells and reach 30 gigawatt hours of cells when the factory is complete in 2027. Just one of multiple investments in Europe to try and wrestle control away from the Chinese in terms of cell manufacturing. Next, Porsche say the Taycan is selling far too well, experiencing massive demand with delivery estimates now up to 6 months, according to the CEO. His name is Oliver Blume. The demand for Porsche's four-door sedan, the Taycan, outpaced their production capacity in the first quarter alone. Totally underestimated how many people would want a Taycan. He said, our original production capacity was 20,000 units a year. We sold that many in the first half of the year. That was on a discussion panel that he was having in Munich, noting that the incoming orders are still huge, particularly coming from China. Well, Teslarati.com writes, the Taycan's popularity continued to accelerate in Q2, Porsche exceeding all the deliveries in 2020 in the first half of the year alone, and the accelerated popularity of the Taycan partly due to the new variants that they have released, like the Cross Turismo, which a couple of people I know is their weapon of choice. Big story today, Motor Trend have driven the R1T, not just a quick half-hour test drive, but they've driven the Rivian R1T across the Trans-American Trail and written a very, very extensive review in two parts. I'll pop a link to part one in the show notes. I'll just read you the first paragraph from this report. This route winds around the Appalachians, across the mighty Mississippi, through the Great Plains, and over the Rockies, before threading through the West's high desert slick road and redwoods to the coast. Some paved roads dot the trail, but they're few and far between. Because of the Endeavour's sheer scale and distance, Motor Trend with Rivian dedicated 43 days to this adventure and split into five legs. We divided into five crews as we navigated our convoy of near-production spec R1Ts and our support vehicle, a Ram 1500 TRX, across the Trans-American Trail. So, you know, Motor Trend is a big publication, not surprised they've got that first review. But hell, what a review. A 43-day review of putting the Rivian R1T through its paces. Brilliant. Have a read of that. And part two, by the time you hear this podcast, should be out already. Three more stories. Let's talk about some Tesla stuff then. And we'll end on a kind of funny one. Let's talk about Tesla in China, selling 44,000 China-made vehicles last month in August. 44,264 was the monthly total. It's a new record of production at Giga Shanghai, but nearly all of them were exported. And that's where I've seen some criticism today online. So the Tesla fans have said, wow, 44,000 vehicles made in Shanghai in a month. And people who are, you know, slightly less into Tesla have gone, yeah, but you sold 12,000 of them in the world's biggest electric car market, which would be China, a country of billions of people, and you sold 12,000 of them. Right. Domestically, the rest were all exported. I don't know. You decide if you think that's good or bad. Tesla's sales in the first month of each quarter usually lower than the following 2 months, says finance.yahoo.com. Having a look at the rest of the market, China's BYD sold 61,000 EVs last month. General Motors, with their sort of JV, which is SAIC, did 44,000. So, you know, lots being made in China, but also lots being exported. We are probably the it was beneficial for Europe because we were having to wait for ships to arrive from Fremont, and now they can come from two places, and I think mostly Shanghai now, and so that's great. Left-hand drive, Model Ys arriving in Europe is very good news. Edmunds have tested the Tesla Model S Plaid, and they say they drove it 345 miles on their real-world loop. Their test loop that they do, falling short of the official EPA range, but by only 3 miles, so that's near as damn it. We'll call it evens. It ties the Model 3 long range for first place on their EV range leaderboard. The Plaid proved to be pretty efficient, say Edmunds, when driving with restraint, which is very hard when you've got 1,000 horsepower under your right foot. And finally, I will leave you with this story, my friends. Arthur Bates Jr. He is a 47-year-old man, and he was in a gas station's parking lot when a certain incident occurred. Let me tell you what happened. He walked behind a Tesla. The car stopped because it saw him coming. He walked into the car, fell over, started screaming, holding his leg, and in the video he can be seen behind the Tesla as the car stopped because it saw him, or the driver saw him. He continued to walk into the car, collapsed on the ground, called the police and the emergency services. An ambulance turned up, firefighters came to the rescue. So the Tesla owner showed police the footage from the cameras, and he has now been arrested. Whether he was trying to claim for damages, I don't know. Whether he was pulling a fast one, trying to get some, I don't know, insurance money or something. When will idiots learn? Teslas have cameras. But whilst there are still idiots in the world, I'm here to report on them for you. And that's your podcast for today. Question of the Week with eMobilityNorway.com. IAA show is on this week. The most headline-grabbing cars are inevitably the headline supercars and the, you know, the ones that get all the headlines. But you need to think about what really needs electrifying. What's your favourite segment or type of car or vehicle? What would you like to see electrified to fill a gap in the market? Email me your thoughts. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Mega thanks, as always, to the Patreon family. That's everybody who supports the show and puts us on the air, and you're listening because of them. And our premium partners get a daily mention. That's you, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, who's a busy boy, Richard at rsev.co.uk, for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.